A diagnosis of breast cancer can cause a life-changing ripple effect of impact, affecting those we love the most and those upon whom we lean for comfort and strength in the most challenging of times. My name is Aisling Hurley and I'm the CEO of Breast Cancer Ireland, and you're listening to More Than a Lump, a podcast that talks openly and honestly to a selection of guests about their very personal connection to breast cancer, be it through their career choice, their own first-hand experience of the disease, or through sharing the experience of close family members. My conversations will center on how breast cancer has informed their perspective on life, love, family, health, their goals, and indeed their aspirations. Although each story is utterly unique, the one common thread that runs through each one is that breast cancer is more than a lump. Dr. Monica Perez is a GP based in Cork and has an impressive 49,000 followers on TikTok and 64,000 followers on Instagram, where she gives health advice to her followers. I invited Dr. Monica to join us here today to share her story with our More Than a Lump community, and importantly, to share her advice on being our own first line of defence in knowing the signs and symptoms of breast cancer. Monica, we're so delighted to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on.
I know you and I met recently on Zoom, and we do hope to meet in person in Cork over the summer, please God.
Yes, hopefully.
Would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and, I suppose, me, about what made you choose medicine as a career and indeed general practice?
That's a long story. So a little bit about myself. My name is Dr. Monica Perez. I am Nigerian born, but Irish. I moved to Ireland when I was about 15, and I moved mainly because my mom passed away and had to kind of come to my other parent. So after that, got into medical school, went to Trinity College, and then came over to Cork to do my internship. And I've kind of been around this part of Ireland since then, which I absolutely adore. Why did I choose to go into medicine? Honestly, I think it had to do with just my mom, my biological mom, and the nature of her passing. And I just saw, like, knowing better after growing up, the lots of, like, things that happened that shouldn't have happened, misdiagnosis and mistreatment she got while she was in Nigeria. I just felt like if I could just even maybe make a change to one person and avoid that, that would be most rewarding for myself and also in her memory as well. And then I chose general practice because going through college and all the rotations they had, despite my love for surgery as well, I just found general practice itself saw a patient as a whole. And I'm not taking that from other specialties, but I just feel like a GP tends to know much more about their patients than maybe their cardiologist, that might just know things that just pertain to that person's heart and things that affect their heart. Meanwhile, some GPs, especially like country GPs, and the one I met that actually played a huge impact, and I'm sure he doesn't even realize this, was a GP in Donegal that was just literally like, he knew everything about that patient, even the name of that dog. It was just so heartwarming, and it was just very, very comfortable with him. And I just love that aspect of general practice.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I suppose then TikTok. Like, yes. You suddenly have become this phenomenal on TikTok. And I suppose you're instilling a lot of, I suppose, understanding of certain ailments and illnesses and certain, I suppose, your advice to people. Tell us how TikTok and why TikTok?
TikTok, I say I owe it to my young patients and also my siblings. So during the start of the pandemic, my siblings kind of told me about TikTok and how it's a thing to be on and stuff like that. But I went on it and I had no clue at all what to do with it. I didn't know how to work it at all, but, and I was still on Instagram then, which I was kind of doing a little bit of, like, the idea of my Instagram was to show that your doctors are humans and we also have, like, lives outside medicine, and just kind of show the work-life balance of a doctor. And so just to move that fear from patients. So I had that, but then, after my sisters brought that to my attention, and then a young patient of mine came in and was talking to me about something they saw on TikTok and that an American doctor talked about, but the thing that she talked about, actually, we didn't have it in Ireland. So I was like, oh, wow, maybe this TikTok could be a thing. So I started doing little videos on it as best as I could. I could not dance. So I realized, okay, I'm actually going to just talk or point, because dancing, I thought I was really good at dancing, but thanks to the pandemic, no clubs or anything. I've lost that skill. So after my siblings talked about TikTok, a young person came in to me and was talking about something they saw on TikTok about an American doctor. But whatever was recommended by that doctor wasn't available in Ireland. So I decided, okay, maybe TikTok could be something for the Irish population as well. So I got into that. And then during with the pandemic and a lot of misinformation about the vaccine and COVID itself. And then I was part of actually the United Nations Team Halo, which is a group of scientists, the doctors that basically share evidence-based information about the vaccines and COVID in general. So I took that very, very seriously.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. And I suppose from my point of view and breast cancer and awareness, you know, what would you take? There is misconceptions, there is confusion, you know, hence the name of the podcast is More Than a Lump, because we do have 8 signs and symptoms that, you know, patients need to be aware of. What would you say to your patients about, you know, what they need to be checking for?
The lump is there. The lump is definitely one of the signs. But I always say whenever I'm tuned, educate my patients that come in and say they don't know how to do a breast exam, I tell them, okay, not just the lump and not just the lump on the breast, you also have to check the lump in the armpit, the lump above the breast as well, to see if there's anything around there. Then you also have to look at the breast as a whole, the skin of your breast, is there a change on that? Does it look what we call a dimpling, or puckering rather, so like an orange peel appearance, which is such a good comparison because almost everyone knows what an orange looks like. Mm-hmm. So does your breast look like that? Then I also talk about the size of the breast. Have you noticed that there's a difference between the sizes in the breast? Is it suddenly grown bigger than what it was before? Mm-hmm. Then you look at that as well. Then you go on to your nipple. So as your nipple, the shape of your nipple, has it changed? Has it gone in? Or is that how it's always been? There are some people with a dimpled nipple that is okay. But if it's a new thing, then obviously you know that that's a change. Also, are you having discharges from your nipple? Yes, some discharges are normal, especially in women. But obviously, if you're having a constant discharge and you're not breastfeeding, or then that is something you should get checked out. Is it bloody? Are you a man? Men shouldn't have discharges as well. And also men should also do a breast exam. And that's something I've been trying to hammer on, especially on TikTok as well, just to say, okay, we all have breast tissue. Just due to hormonal changes, men don't have as big boobs as women, but you still need to check it. Yeah. So yeah. I'm so glad I get a lot of feedback from a lot of men that say, oh my goodness, I actually did not realize I should do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a patient ambassador who's 52 now, and he was out running last summer, came in, had a shower, noticed something a little bit strange across his chest, went to the GP the following Monday. GP said, well, go away for a week or two, just monitor it and see how you get on. He monitored it. It was still there. And he has since gone on to have a mastectomy.
Oh, wow. It actually does happen. It really does. There are a good few number of men that do get breast cancer in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose statistically they tend to be older, but yet this is a younger man in his 50s. And of course now his main passion is talking to men and talking to friends and relatives and people he knows to say, I got it. You know, you too can get it. Everybody does need to be breast aware. We all have breast tissue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, I forgot to mention, I suppose another thing that to be noticed on the breast when you're doing a breast exam is the rash. You could also have an abnormal rash there, and people tend to forget that a rash could be a form of breast cancer, inflammatory form of breast cancer. So those are the things people should be looking out for. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a lump on your breast. It is more than a lump.
Absolutely. And actually, we did a little poll on Instagram and Facebook yesterday, just in advance of us chatting. And one of the questions that came back was from a lady who said that she's an unusual bruising on her breast and that should she be concerned?
Mm-hmm. I would say she should not be concerned, but she should get checked. There could be a normal reasons why that's happening, but just don't dismiss that change that you've gotten there.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose, Dr. Monica, if somebody is concerned, and supposing they have thankfully, you know, adopted the monthly check, you know, checking themselves monthly, and they do spot an abnormality, what is the first thing that they should do?
So the first thing they should do is try not to panic, but it's understandable if you do. And the next thing is to pick up the phone and give your GP a call. GPs do tend to prioritize things like this because obviously with early detection, we can, if it is breast cancer, we can obviously do something about it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that in your experience that women, and I say women, even though we do know that one in 1,000 men are diagnosed with breast cancer, but do you think that women are reluctant to come to the GP? You know, that they feel, if it's not troubling me, I'm not going to really go down that road. I don't really want to face any bad news of any kind.
Yes and no. I suppose from my experience, it also kind of depends on the type of person and also their family as well. If it's maybe a mom that has some kids, and it's also around, obviously a mom has kids, but young kids, and it's maybe around maybe it's around the Christmas period, or maybe around the birthday or wedding or something like that. Moms tend to put themselves before everyone else, and they probably don't say anything to anyone. They push whatever they found aside, and then they decide, okay, we'll go through the wedding, we'll go through Christmas, and then I'll go see the doctor and sort myself out. So I do find that a lot. And although it is understandable, it's not the right thing to do, because like I said earlier on, with early detection, the prognosis could be so much better. And even if you think, oh boy, it's only like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, that could actually make a massive change. So I do find that often.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed on one of your recent videos, you talk about not just self-checking from a breast cancer perspective, but other monthly checks that we should be carrying out. Can you give us a little bit more detail on that, like checking glands, etc.?
Oh, yes, yes. And that was actually inspired by a patient, because it was actually a patient that asked me, so what things should I actually be looking for? So yes, our glands, because things like our lymph nodes, so around our head and neck, sometimes that could be the only sign, the swelling around there could be the only sign of cancer that a person could have. And literally check around your ears, your jawline, underneath your neck. Is it swollen? Is it tender? Sometimes you could have like tender swollen lymph nodes when maybe you have like even a throat infection. But if you don't do a monthly check, you don't realize if that is new or if it's always been that way and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You could also sometimes you could feel around your thyroid gland as well. You could find a lump around that area too. So things like that. So you should check that. Also, other checks that you can do is to check your moles as well. Especially for people that have a lot of moles, and you know, the ones that maybe you've been told to keep an eye on. Check it. Has it grown in size? Has it changed color? Is it raised? Has it even lost pigment? That's something some people don't realize, that, okay, it used to be dark, but now it's a little bit lighter. Is that okay? That is not okay. Get that checked out. And if you know that that wasn't there last month, then you know the timeline of things as well. Mm-hmm. Also for men as well, things that they should also check is their testicles, because testicular cancer is out there, and it's usually picked up by men, but you won't pick that up if you do not check your testicles monthly to know if there's a swelling or a lump around there as well. Mm-hmm. And then the breast check for men and women, that is definitely advisable monthly. Mm-hmm. Because then if you know the old the premise of this is that if you know you're normal, we don't all have one body, we all have things that are normal for us, but if you know you're normal, then you know when this is abnormal, okay? And if you come to your GP and tell your GP this wasn't there last month, obviously I'm not going to dismiss that. But if it's like, oh, I think this has always been there, because if it's always been there, then okay, that's fine. But if it's something that it wasn't there last month, that should be investigated. So things like that, those four definitely do that monthly.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what we constantly say to people is know your base normal, what you're dealing with today. And then on a monthly basis, if you check yourself and you notice an abnormality, then you know what? You go straight to your GP, because early detection is what saves lives. And that's across everything, as you say, whether it's in moles, whether it's testicular, whether it's whatever. You just know your own body. That's what we're trying to empower, especially women, is to know their own bodies.
Yes, absolutely.
And I suppose from a broader lifestyle perspective, what would you say reduces your risk of a breast cancer or any serious illness diagnosis?
We do know that even though it's been harped on, but smoking. So smoking cessation is very important. If you're a smoker, smoking affects your lungs, your heart. It influences some cancers as well. So it's not a matter of maybe I'm going to smoke maybe like two or three. If you can, please stop it. And let's also know that secondhand smoking is something, if it doesn't affect you as you think it is, it might be affecting the people around you as well. So if you take that into consideration, maybe that might impact you quitting your smoking habit. Also alcohol as well. I'm not one that's going to tell people, do not take yourself of alcohol, because obviously we're in Ireland. So, but if you can, please limit your alcohol intake, because that also plays a factor as well. And then when we try to say maintaining a healthy weight, we're not telling everyone to go to the gym and start lifting weight. We're just trying to encourage people to be as active as they can. If it's your kind of person that enjoy going for a walk, maybe try and increase your pace a bit, and do, even if you do like a fast of 30 minutes a day for maybe like four or three times a week, that is still something that is better than sitting on the couch for that amount of time. Mm-hmm. So do that. Other things that you can also do, your diet. I'm not one to tell people to go and eat salads. I'm not a fan myself. But if you kind of try and incorporate some veg into your diet, so, and also limit your intake of saturated fats. So things like your sausages and your bacon, which I absolutely love, but I'm thankful that I do these things, because then it's also impactful in my life as well, because then I'm like, okay, you're not going to have three sausages today, maybe just the one, and yeah, things like that. So so just simple changes could actually make a big difference in our health. And if we're thinking about breast cancer, there is some evidence to actually show that breastfeeding can actually reduce your chance of breast cancer. So if there's one reason for a new mom to take up breastfeeding, maybe that could be a reason. So we should also know that even if we do all those things and we are the most healthier person, you could still get breast cancer. So that is why this self-checks is the most, one of the most important things you can actually do for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose that from our point of view, statistically, we are seeing like 23% of women under the age of 50. So these are women who are shocked that they've had a diagnosis because they're so young, and because there is that myth that breast cancer only affects older women.
Yes. And it actually can affect people of all ages. As long as you have breast tissue, it can happen. But obviously, statistically, it does affect older women. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's some people, there's also another misconception that just because it's not in my family, they don't think about it. That is not true, because yes, there are some genetic predisposition to breast cancer, but then you could have breast cancer even if none of your family members has had it before.
Yeah, because we now know, even from talking to the teams in the hospitals, like it's 5% are hereditary cases of breast cancer. So 95% of those other cases are cases that just, it just happens, you know. And I suppose one important thing is to get women, get everybody just more breast aware, empowering people to take their breast health more seriously. I suppose understanding what the normal is and checking yourself on a regular basis. Dr. Monica, I recently last week had a chat with a patient supporter, Demi Abadeo, who was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2021. She had her surgery, a mastectomy. She's had chemo and radiation therapy, and she's due to have her reconstruction over the next couple of weeks. But one of the things that became very evident was her fear and unwillingness to tell family and to talk to the African community about her diagnosis on religious grounds. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, I suppose I am Nigerian, and Demi sounds Nigerian.
Yes.
So just from my personal and cultural experience, I know how it is with medicine and Nigerian. Like, even though parents want their children to be doctors, sometimes they do not support the science, and religion is also always taking first place in everything. And I completely understand what she means by that, because a lot of people might feel that you can pray away a lot of things, And this is not me disputing prayers. It's just that science has come a long way and prayers and science can go hand in hand. And this is actually one of the reasons that I'm actually very passionate about what I'm talking about, because it's also important to see somebody like me out there online supporting science and also showing that, okay, I am Nigerian, I believe in this, but this actually works. Medicine works. It's in so many things. I can't tell you the conversations I've had with so many people about even not just breast cancer, even something as simple as taking their contraceptive pill as well. It's some arguments I've had even with family members. So I completely understand, and I hope that people sharing their stories and putting things out there, all that will reduce the effect of culture on science.
Absolutely. And I think that's what Demi was trying to say, is that she is herself very religious, but she says that religion has a place, but science has come a long way, and that we need to trust science. And she feels she definitely trusted the science. She detected her lump quite early, went straight to her GP, and she's now recovering. And she praises the fact that science and research has come such a long way. Dr. Monica, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure. And please, Scott, in July, we will get to meet up in person.
Thank you so much for having me on.
The information in this podcast is based on the personal stories of those we have chatted to. If you are concerned in any way, please contact your GP immediately, or you can contact us at breastcancerireland.com.